This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker,
sex workers,
wench, bow metal mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gal listen me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
Sex worker, damn it.
Go get some.
Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
Welcome to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. This is the only community radio show in the world that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers for you. That's right, this is your opportunity to challenge your stereotypes and prejudices about sex work and make your opinion about us an informed one.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex worker organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
If you would like to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427JOY949. You can also stay connected with us via our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at Vixen Hour. The topic for tonight's show is touring and sex work. Sex workers who travel around Australia to do their job. As we've talked about previously on the Vixen Hour, sex work is regulated at a state-based level, and what that means is that every state offers something different in terms of legislation, options to be able to work, and cultures of clients that we're able to see. This, of course, provides us an opportunity to add a bit more diversity to our work, but also for us to work in a way that suits the way that each individual sex worker works. So, for example, in Victoria, one of the recurring things that we talk about is that Victorian sex workers aren't allowed to work from home. That's not the case in most states of Australia. So tonight we're going to talk to Fiona. Usually regular listeners of the Vixen Hour would be aware that I'm joined in the studio by a new co-host every week. This week I am flying solo, but I do have a pre-recorded interview to play with you from Fiona, who is a sex worker who regularly travels to work. Fiona has travelled to most states in Australia and worked in most states of Australia. She's going to share her experience of working in those different states and what she perceives to be the differences between each one. The topic of fly-in, fly-out sex workers or touring sex workers did gather a lot of media attention last year, mainly because a Queensland sex worker was taking a hotelier to court on the grounds of anti-discrimination. Now, while that court case was going to trial, a number of media outlets reported on the epidemiological rise of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis amongst mining communities in Queensland and Western Australia. The head of the Australian Medical Association in Queensland, as well as the Queensland Health Minister, Lawrence Springboard, were quick to blame sex workers for this spread of STIs. But they were quickly refuted by academics and sex worker advocates who pointed to the evidence that demonstrated that, as we've discussed here on the Vixen Hour a number of times, that sex workers had in fact had a lower prevalence of STIs than the general community. So looking to scapegoat us wasn't in fact reflecting the evidence. Of course, this case came to a head in November when the courts found in favour of the sex worker. They found that she had been discriminated against. And although this was a win for sex worker rights in the community, and thinking that this was an opportunity to reflect and to show the discrimination that sex workers do face, instead of accepting that lesson that we could learn, the Queensland Attorney General turned around and legislated that an exemption to equal opportunity that allowed landlords and hoteliers to discriminate against sex workers. It was legislation that enabled them to evict us from their businesses on the basis that we are sex workers. But you know what? Outside of the media and of court cases, what the Vixen Hour is really about is hearing from the lived experiences of sex workers. So rather than going on about how the issue of touring sex work has been spoken about by other people, I thought we would focus a bit more during this episode on the actual voices of sex workers. And I thought I would start with my own. So last year, I was given the opportunity to visit a friend of mine who had moved into state. They'd moved to Tasmania. And she invited me to stay with her for a week and work from her house. This was a really, really unique opportunity for me. And I thought I would jump in and see what it was like to work in a different state. So one of the first differences was, down in Tasmania, hardly anyone uses the internet to do sex work, particularly males. This meant that I couldn't rely on my internet advertising as I had in Victoria. I actually had to buy an ad in the local newspaper, and that was something that was somewhat different for me. Another difference was that I was able to offer in-calls, and what that meant was the clients were allowed to come and see me, because in Tasmania, you're allowed to work from your own home up to two people. This, of course, meant a whole bunch of different things that I could do down there that I couldn't do here. So a lot of little things, like I could set up the furniture to be really, really comfortable. I could actually pick the music that was playing in the background. I could do things like light candles and set up the bathroom the way that I wanted to. And while these are all really little things that people might not think are a big deal, we don't get to do that here in Victoria when we're not in control of the workspace. It meant that I was working from an environment that I was really, really familiar and comfortable with. I also had a friend with me that I could debrief with after the job and to keep each other safe. These are all really important issues to workers, you know, being able to be in control of our workspace, occupational health and safety. All of these things are really, really important to every worker. So it was really nice to be able to have the opportunity to work in a way that I thought was a lot more comfortable and a lot more considerate of my needs. So yes, that's what we're talking about here on the Vixen Hour tonight. We'll be here for the rest of the show. We'll be hearing from a sex worker who has toured other parts of Australia, and that's Fiona. We've got to go to some messages now, but we'll be back with that interview. You're listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
So welcome to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We're here with Fiona.
Hi, Christian.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good to hear. So every week on the Vixen Hour, we do have a new guest co-host, and this week it is Fiona. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Christian. How are you?
I'm pretty good. As we do every week here on the Vixen Hour, we spend this first part of the show getting to know my co-host. So, Fiona, who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. In terms of who am I as a sex worker, I've been working for about 20 years. Mainly mm-hmm. privately,
yep.
All around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, started off working in a couple of brothels and then branched mm-hmm. off to do private work.
Yeah, now have you always been based in Melbourne?
I haven't. No, mm-hmm. I've never actually even worked privately in Melbourne just uh-huh. because I'm not really comfortable with the laws here.
So you've lived in different parts of the country?
I have.
Yeah. So where were you living when you first started to work?
Well, that was in Melbourne, working in brothels. Mm-hmm. I started off just working in a rub and tug joint and then brothels all through Melbourne. I really enjoyed that experience. And then started working in some brothels in Sydney. And after that, just started going up and down the East Coast working privately.
Cool. We'll talk about that experience a bit later on about, you know, traveling to work. Every week here at the Vixen Hour, we do recognise that everybody defines sex work in their own personal way. And it's not useful to have one definition, but to actually explore a whole range of definitions for each person. So for Fiona, how do you define what sex work is?
Well, broadly speaking, I'd say it's the provision of sexual services for profit. Mm-hmm. How you choose to profit or provide those services is such an individual experience.
Uh-huh. And what has sex work meant for you in your sort of time as a sex worker?
I think the most important thing has been the freedom to have my own business, to travel wherever I want, knowing that I can, set up a business and do well as long as I've done my research. Mm-hmm. Also, the camaraderie that goes with being associated, with other sex workers, and just a beautiful scene, really. Mm-hmm. I just love the people I've met through my travels. Yeah.
Cool. So you've said you've done sex work for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, sort of before you started to do sex work, did you have an idea of what sex work would be like? What did you think it was going to be?
I did. I had the most stereotyped perceptions that it was seedy, scary, exciting, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. When it can be those things, but it can also be boring. That's right. There is a mundane aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But I was originally drawn to it, actually, because I just felt like I wanted to do something a little bit taboo.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest difference, do you think, in your understanding of sex work from before you started to after you started?
I think the main thing is just that the sex industry is populated with real people, with mm-hmm. real lives. And I'm talking about workers and clients here. So obviously workers come from all walks of life, and they don't fit the stereotypes that you see in movies or that people object to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that everyone has their own story, whether it's about their family life or their experiences in what they've done in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done sex work for quite a while now.
Yeah.
You were saying over 20 years. 20 years?
Yeah.
20 years, yeah. Has your understanding of what sex work is changed over that time?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved. I suppose the sort of attitudes that you have in your 20s as opposed to in your 40s will be very different in any type of work that mm-hmm. you're doing.
So what was your attitude when you were in your 20s?
I suppose I had less respect for the clients then. I was pretty arrogant, young, mm-hmm. just out to make money and have exciting times. Now I think I'm more professional, especially because I'm more focused on my own business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really focus on providing a service that's worthwhile, that's giving back something as well as receiving.
So if you could have a conversation with your 20-year-old self, what advice would you, I guess, at this stage of your life, still being a sex worker, say to yourself back then?
Oh, I'd say do that extra job. Stop being a lazy little shit. Do that extra job. Put it on your mortgage.
Yeah. Cool. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It's been lovely getting to know you, Fiona.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
So Fiona, you've travelled a lot around Australia. Where was the first place that you worked outside of Melbourne?
That would have been Sydney. Mm-hmm. In a couple of parlors on the North Shore and the inner city.
Mm-hmm. So were you living in Sydney at the time?
Not really. I'd go and live in a brothel for a month at a time. I mm-hmm. was living in northern New South Wales at the time, and yep. I'd come down, stay in a place for a month, go back, mm-hmm. cashed up.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, some people might not understand what it's like to be living in a brothel. They might have an idea of what that might be. I'm just wondering if you could describe what living in a... When you say you were living in a brothel, brothel. Like, what was it like? Did you have to pay rent? Because I think people might have a few stereotypes about what living in a brothel might be like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose, yeah, there's so many different types of ways that you could live in a brothel and experience it. My memories of it was of it almost being like a big crazy share house in a way.
Mm-hmm. So there were other workers there at the time?
There were. Mm-hmm. And maybe two or three of us may have been staying there at one time.
Mm-hmm. Is the room that you sleep in separate from the rooms that you work in?
Normally when I've stayed over in places, I've had my own room that I work out of and mm-hmm. sleep in. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty messy. So every morning would involve cleaning the place up so that it looks nice for clients. But, mm-hmm. It's kind of cozy and nice. Obviously, you'd have, you know, there's the ups and downs too.
Living with lots of other people.
Exactly. Yeah. But, no, I found it a really good experience. Just generally found that it's either been free or just very minimal sort of price for accommodation. And, the brothel owners tend to be pretty helpful from my experience.
Yep, great. So sometimes you live for free and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, there was one time I was working in a place, they had a house in the next suburb and you could pay something like $10 a night to have a room there.
Oh, okay.
And that was sort of fun too because we'd all sort of unwind after work, have a bit of a chat and then go off to work the next day together.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, so it must be nice having other people, other workers that you can sort of debrief with, talk about, I guess, you know, workplace issues with.
It really was. That's the main thing I'd have to say I miss about working in brothels is just chatting with the other workers and the support and humour and, just some amazing times.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, there were some non-fun times.
Obviously, you know, with any job that has its ups and downs, personality clashes. And
yeah. So what are some of the positive aspects of working in New South Wales?
The laws tend to be a lot more flexible than, say, Victoria in terms of supporting independent workers to have their own businesses.
Because you were saying that like brothel owners tended to be nicer. You could sort of rent a room from them, and I guess the rent has nothing to do with how much you earn. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess I went to places that were pretty casual like that, and very supportive of encouraging people from, say, interstate or rural areas to come and work for a couple of weeks here and there if they want to.
And is it hard to find? Because it sounded like that workplace really, really suited you.
Yeah, I think you do have to shop around. That's the beauty of it too. You can, you know, pop into half a dozen parlours in one night, have a chat with the owners or the other people working there and see how you find it. You know, it can be quite flexible compared to other occupations.
Uh-huh. Is parlour work the only work that you've done while you've been in Sydney or in New South Wales?
No. While I was in Sydney, I started to hear stories of people who'd gone out by themselves and worked for themselves. And I found some of the brothel owners didn't really like us talking like that. I was actually thrown out of one brothel for speculating that it might be more profitable to work for yourself. But I can understand they're trying to protect their business too. Yeah. But yeah, for ages I was too scared to work for myself. And when I started doing it, I found that there's a lot of urban myths going around about how dangerous it is compared to brothel work.
Yeah. Do you think, because you were talking about, you know, our brothel owners had, an invested interest in not talking about things like private work, because obviously if you start talking about private work and exploring the options,
they'll lose all their stuff.
Do you think a lot of that fear and stigma about private work is based on other people's agendas?
I think so. I don't think there's any need for brothel owners to scare workers out of going private, though, because they can provide an environment that you'll never get in a private situation, which is you never have to answer the phones, you don't have to do all that admin work, you just turn up, do your job, go home, it's finished. I don't think there's any need for that scaremongering.
Yeah. So brothel work for you at the time was something that really, really suited how you needed to work and what you needed to learn. Was that right?
I did. I learned incredible, you know, skills off other workers. And I learned how to run a business. all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just had an incredible time meeting other people in the same kind of work.
Mm-hmm. And after that experience and then sort of crossing over and becoming a private worker, is that how you've worked from then on in?
Like- yeah, I have to meet ever since. So I don't think I could ever go back to parlour work, even though I do miss it. I miss the girls' room and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I think I guess I'm just a stubborn, independent person that doesn't being, like being told what to do by any type of boss or employee.
Yeah. And I suppose New South Wales being decriminalised and having a whole range of services, like ways of working, did that make it easier to explore your options?
Yeah, definitely. Compared to Victoria, you can go out by yourself without the threat of getting criminal convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And you do feel safer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the laws are a little bit more respectful of your circumstances.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say about working in New South Wales?
I have had a couple of issues just with small towns, mm-hmm. being run out of town, intimidated, threatened by, I think, the competition. I'm not really sure what the dynamics were there.
So that was in regional New South Wales?
It was,
yeah.
I think there's a balancing act when you go to a small town of you don't want to tread on people's turf, but at the same time you do feel that you have the right to come in there and, mm-hmm. Advertise.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's New South Wales.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Joy
94.9.
So you talked about New South Wales. Where was the next place that you worked?
After that, I went up to Queensland, mm-hmm. everywhere from the Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast and Townsville.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed working. Just the lifestyle a lot of the time was a real attraction, just hiring beautiful accommodation,
mm-hmm.
Holiday flats by the ocean.
Excellent.
Getting up, having a swim, doing a few jobs, going out for lunch, having another swim, doing a few more jobs. It's just a beautiful lifestyle and so many varieties of nice accommodation that you can get.
Yeah, and you were working in an independent and private way still?
Yeah.
Did that allow you to sort of travel from place to place quite easily?
Yeah, I saw all up and down the east coast of Australia through working that way.
So private work is legal in Queensland?
It is, but there are a few restrictions that I had issues with. For example, two workers can't work together.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a safety issue. You can't even refer a client to someone who you think would be more appropriate if they had a particular look in mind or something like that. Even that could get you arrested. So
mm-hmm.
There are laws that I find really not in the interests of women's safety or workers' safety, regardless of your gender.
Yeah. One of the unique things in Queensland, I guess, is that police are the regulators of the sex industry up there. And I guess that sort of means that, particularly for private workers, it creates a bit of a tense relationship with the police.
I did feel that. There was more an element of fear rather than that they're there to protect us. And I think in Queensland, it's the only place where cops are allowed to entrap. So they would actually go out looking for people doing the wrong things and create situations where you're almost forced into doing the wrong things.
Yeah, you're right. Did you ever encounter the police while you were up there?
I had a lot of calls that I was suspicious of people, for example, asking, will you do massage? If it's illegal to say that you do massage as a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are a lot of situations where I felt like I couldn't be completely honest with my clients because they all sounded like cops to me after a while.
Yeah. It sounds like a really stressful situation.
It is. You can't have your partner dropping in to bring your lunch, stuff like that, because
if
they get caught there, they could be charged.
With, the pimping laws? Because I know that's, if you have more than one person on premises, the person who's not a sex worker gets charged with...
I don't know. They could be charged with living off the earnings or... if you have a partner in Queensland, they have to be really careful that they can prove they've got their own income or that sort of thing. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just... it's not very worker-friendly in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But, Queensland was a really good experience overall, though.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you know the laws and how to protect yourself.
Yep. As an independent private worker, you found it okay.
There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of interesting mix of clients, everything from surfers to retirees to fly-in, fly-out miners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great way to see the countryside, basically.
Fantastic. Yay, that was our tour of Queensland. Thanks, Fiona.
Hi, this is François Sagat. Et vous écoutez Joy sur 94.9.
another place I really loved working is Canberra.
Uh-huh.
I think the laws under there in Canberra at the moment are under a review. I've always found it to be a really easy place to work.
So you worked there, again, as a private worker?
I did. I lived and worked in Canberra as a private worker for 4 years, working out of the apartment I lived in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one of the things I think a lot of Melbourne sex workers are jealous of, is that in a lot of other states you can work from home.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I travel for work, because I prefer to invite clients to come and visit me in my apartment. I find that it's safer, it's easier, it's more practical.
Yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, that's not legal in Melbourne, so I'm just more comfortable working at the state.
Yeah. I think as stringent as the laws are here in Victoria, it does mean that private workers are looking for, I guess, places where they can work, where they have a lot more options.
Yeah.
So you worked in Canberra for a while?
Yeah, I worked in Canberra for about 4 years, built up a regular clientele. And got myself into a bit of routine of just putting money aside every week, doing the amount of work that I thought was just right for me. And yeah, it was a nice lifestyle.
Yay. And did you connect with the sex worker organisation there in Canberra, or the service there in Canberra?
Yeah, I did. Did a bit of work for SWOP as well. And
so for people who aren't familiar, SWOP stands for the Sex Workers Outreach Project.
That's right.
Yep, in the ACT.
Yeah, so that was wonderful, being able to put back into the community that had already given me so much. Going around to parlours, helping people get in contact with services or just have a chat if they want, providing condoms and other sharing skills.
So it sounds like connecting with the sex worker organisation was a way of getting back to that camaraderie that you talked about when you first started working.
Definitely, yeah, the camaraderie that I kind of missed in the girls' room. It was really lovely to reconnect with the brothel scene and be around people with a whole bunch of interesting ideas and ways to support each other.
Yeah, great. And how would you describe Canberra as different to the... like, what makes Canberra different to the rest of the country in terms of being able to work there?
Well, the laws are different in that it is quite easy to work for yourself from a private premises in the ACT. Technically, you're supposed to be registered, but it doesn't seem to be policed very stringently. And, yeah, the clientele's different. They're much more punctual than everywhere else in Australia. I don't know what that's saying about Canberra. And a good mix of people from all over Australia and the world in Canberra.
I guess because a lot of people travel there to do work.
Exactly.
Say government work or no government work.
A really good mix of professionals and tradies, and always someone interesting to talk to.
Yay, that's fantastic. Canberra, the most punctual clients.
They are, and I reckon I'd have to say North Queensland has been the least punctual, but really nice people though.
So everywhere, not only are the ways that you can work different in every state, or the laws are different in every state, but the clients can be quite different too.
Yeah, just like if you were travelling around Australia, you'd notice that there's a different culture everywhere you go, different regions, people live their lives a little bit differently, express themselves differently, and yeah, working, you really get to see that good overview of different attitudes.
Is that one of the reasons why you do travel and work? Is that sort of variety of, different workplaces, settings, cultures?
It is. It is a great eye-opener. And to be able to have intimate moments with total strangers all over Australia, and the way they'll tell you what's on their mind, or just the different ways they express themselves from region to region, a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Oh, yay. Was that Canberra? We just did Canberra.
Hello, I am Amanda Palmer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only lesbian and gay community radio station.
So where's the next place that you worked?
I've gone up to Darwin a couple of times, rented a private apartment for a week here and there. Darwin accommodation's really expensive.
Yeah, right.
And there's some very strange laws about how you can advertise in the paper. But
what were those? suppose?
Well, basically you can't describe yourself at all.
Oh, really?
No body type, ethnicity, age.
What? Wow. So
anything like that.
What do you think that's about?
I think...
Or did it just not make any sense?
I could just speculate that they're trying to be politically correct, or who knows what goes through the minds of.
Yeah, because we've got some pretty crazy, we've got some pretty nonsensical laws down here in Victoria. So I'm always curious. Yeah, I'm always curious to hear like what the thinking is behind what those laws are, particularly around advertising, because advertising, I guess, is the public face of the sex industry. That, you know, that clients and non-clients would have to observe. So, like, here in Victoria, I know things like you can't show your body, you have to show your head and shoulders only. And yeah, it sounds like that's, you know, it's a way of trying to stop the classifieds from, you know, just turning into a whole sea of half-naked bodies or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
have you noticed there's always a way around every crappy little restriction? For example, people have Victorian websites will have a link to their Sydney website that shows the full body shot.
Yeah. But and the ironic thing is all the other advertisers use like full body shots of like models and stuff. So it kind of doesn't make sense that sex workers couldn't do it. But getting back to the Northern Territory, so there was some pretty out of touch advertising laws. What else happens up there?
Well, there's no brothels, or it's no legal brothels, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. It's only escort agencies and private workers.
Right.
So...
And if you want to work at an escort agency, do you know what that process is?
I don't really know. I've never really contacted them.
That's all right. So working as a private... You found working as a private worker up there...
A bit hit and miss, to be honest. I mean, it's very seasonal in Darwin with the wet season, dry season. And, yeah, really expensive accommodation. I reckon if you lived there, though, you could really make it work for you.
So is it a place that you would go back to, or
I'd love to go back just because it's such an out there place, and you know,
but, what did you enjoy about it?
The mix of clientele.
What were they like? Were they punctual?
Not as punctual as Canberra, no one ever could be, but yeah, there's like a really strong Indigenous culture up there, so really interesting to...
Would you have gotten miners?
Yeah, a lot of fly-in miners.
And just travellers, like, in general, the Northern Territory?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Was there anything about the Northern Territory that made it different to other places?
I suppose the fact that there's no legal brothels... that if a client wants to go and visit someone on their premises, it's going to be a private worker. So that changes the dynamics a bit.
Did that mean there was a lot more work for private workers who were working from home?
Well, you would think so, but I personally didn't find it as busy as other states where there are brothels.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because if there are brothels, it's a sort of more accepted idea.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, I don't know. That is interesting.
Yeah, you'd think it sounds counterintuitive, but I think having some competition is actually healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Cool. So that was Darwin.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Western Australia.
Western Australia. Okay, so that's another place where you get a lot of fly-in, fly-out miners. There's a lot of money over there.
Yep.
I spent about 6 months living in Perth CBD, just working out of a private apartment there.
Was it a hard process to do? So private work is legal in Western Australia as well?
Oh, I've forgotten now. Yeah, it must have been, because I generally try to work within the law, just because I don't like dealing with the stresses.
Yeah.
Not because I agree with all the laws.
So you worked from a private apartment?
I worked from a private apartment. one of the main things I noticed there, though, actually, is clients really distinguish between massage and full service.
Oh, okay.
Some states... You know, it's pretty normal just to offer both and have a range of prices, whereas it was almost like people would like to see, I don't know, it just seems a real distinction between clients who will go to see someone who's doing rub and tug or someone who's doing full service.
Mm-hmm. So there were sort of specific clients who wanted a specific service.
I think so, yeah. And it's almost like they identified differently.
Yeah, so they're looking for something different.
Yeah,
which is sort of, it goes against the sort of the understanding here, particularly here in Victoria, and you've talked about in Queensland, where you can't use the word massage in your advertising. Yeah. And, you know, there might be clients out there that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, they want a sensual massage with a happy ending, and mm-hmm. you can't say that you can do that for them.
Well, you can't say that in Victoria, but it sounds like Western Australia was a place where that was a really, really important point.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was clients like, oh, I don't want to visit a prostitute. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was that, or whether they just wanted a really good pampering service that's not as expensive as full service, and mm-hmm. they don't basically have to do anything except lie there and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, after a hard day in the mines.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe that's what they were.
Yeah, it's like a day spa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With a wristy at the end.
Exactly.
Fantastic. And did you find Western Australia a safe place to work? Was it a comfortable place to work? How would you describe it?
I found it safe. I'd never had any bad experiences. The clients were all well behaved. Was never harassed by any of the competition. Generally a positive.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Great. So we've done a little lightning tour of Australia here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Was there any other things you wanted to talk about in terms of doing touring as a sex worker?
No, I just want to say thanks for the opportunity to have a chat, Christian. Yeah. And I'd really like to hear everyone else's perspectives of working too, because it's so different for everyone. There's a niche there for everyone.
Yeah.
And what I say that I like, you know, other people could be rolling their eyes and like, oh, how could you even do that? Mm-hmm. How boring or how...
Yeah.
But, no, there's so many different ways to work. And thank goodness there's always at least one state that has, you know, a legal framework that you can do something with.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for joining us, Fiona, here on the Vixen Hour.
Thanks, Christian. It's been a real pleasure.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You have been listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It has come to the end of this week's show. Hope you had fun listening to it. I want to thank Fiona for joining us to discuss what it's like to travel around Australia and live and work. And Fiona is, you know, but one voice of a sex worker that we'd like to bring to you every week here on the Vixen Hour. We do bring you the voices of sex workers in an effort to gain a deeper understanding of what sex workers go through and humanise an often misunderstood occupation. On next week's episode, we will be talking about how sex workers have gotten together to provide that voice to the community through sex worker organising, and I'll be joined by the wonderful Rani, who helped me on my first episode here of the Vixen Hour. We'll be talking about sex workers, sex worker organising in Australia, and its connection to our human rights. It's going to be a really interesting show. Hope you can tune in. If you do want to stay connected to the Vixen Hour during the week, you can do so by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. That is the Vixen Hour's Facebook page. It's facebook.com/sexworkerradio. But for now, it is goodbye from me, and I will catch you next week here on Joy 94.9. This has been the Vixen Hour.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.